IVM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sponge Podcast. As always, I'm with Ambi Parmeshwaran, and we're going to be discussing his book, Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Clients. And Ambi, we're going to be talking about the seventh chapter today, Setting the Right Expectations. So, I mean, like, I guess the right way to start this thing off is you have a really interesting story at the start of this chapter where you're talking about how you set the expectations correctly for a project you were engaged with for Cadbury.
Yeah, okay. So this chapter is about setting the right expectations with clients. You know, very often, what agencies and people, anyone who's in a B2B situation, you get scared of the client and you promise the moon and then you deliver just dust. Okay, so whatever you deliver ends up becoming a disaster, right? So in this case, we got a call from Cadbury and we were not the agency working on the Cadbury account. In fact, we work, at that time, the agency used to work on a lot of companies which competed with Cadbury directly, right? So we got a call and they said, look, you know, it seems you guys have something like a competitive gaming process. We want to know more about it. So,
what do you mean by competitive gaming?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, as a company, you compete with several competitors, right? And this whole process helps you, puts you in the competitor's shoes to think like them and then work out your strategy, how will you compete with them? So let me explain the whole thing.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So this is a process called chess. It was originally developed by FCB New York, but they were not using it too much. But we took it upon ourselves and used it as one of the armory of tools we used in our Cogito consulting practice. So chess is like chess. You make moves and figure out what are the counter moves.
Okay.
So if I am company A and I am competing with B, C, and D, chess, first of all, understands what makes A successful, what are the weak points of A, similarly, what makes B successful, what are the weak points of B, and then you do role playing.
Okay.
How do you compete with this company? So if I am Cadbury, okay, so let me tell you the story what happened.
Right.
So we got called by Cadbury and we went and met the head of marketing, Sanjay Purohit. And then Sanjay said, you know, it sounds very good as a tool. How much does it cost? We talked about the cost. And then he said, you know, fine. And he said, look, I can't share anything confidential about my company to you because you work with some of my competitors. We said, don't share anything confidential. We'll figure out.
Okay? Right.
But before we started the project, I had a nagging doubt. And because, you know, Cadbury is a very smart company, you know, got terrific guys working with them. They had the managing director was, you know, Anand Kripalu. They had a guy called Chandramouli Venkatesan, who's head of strategy, again, a brilliant strategist. Mm-hmm. And they had Sanjay Purohit. They had a fabulous bunch of people. So when we started the project, I was not very sure whether anything great will come out of it or something will come out which they did not realize. You know, a lot of times, chess is a very expensive process. It takes almost 3 months to do it. It costs a lot of money. And the previous chess projects we had done for many companies, in the end, the client says, hey, we spent 3 months doing it, but, you know, we learned this. So there were one or two things they learn.
Right.
For which it's okay to pay the money in. So I didn't want to make the mistake of over-promising. So I decided to meet Anand Kripalu, who was a managing director of the company. I knew him from before as well. So I told him, look, I'm happy. We got this project. We'll do it. But Anand, you run a very smart company, so I don't know whether we'll be able to really bring out something which you guys could not have figured out yourself. So Anand said, yeah, I think that's a fair comment. But I think interacting with your team, our team will learn. And hopefully we'll find something interesting. And Ambi, thanks for alerting me. But it's okay. Let's go and do it. If we find something great, good. We don't find anything great, it's fine. So for Cadbury, we studied Hershey's, Godrej, which is Hershey's joint venture partner, and Mars.
Okay.
And so, and we found out how do they compete, what we call the chess rules, how do they enter a market, what do they do to enter a market, how do they compete. So it's a long process. You know, we do a lot of literature studies, we study the interviews, we study the annual reports. we also speak to people who worked in these companies in the past. So it's not espionage. It's very clearly not espionage, right, because we tell whomever we talk to, so this is what we are doing.
Right.
But I would say it's competitive intelligence. So we did all this, and then Anand and Chandramouli and Sanjay organized a full-day retreat. I think we had it at the Oberoi, where they called all the heads of department. There were 12 of them in the room, head of finance, head of HR, head of supply chain, everyone was there. We presented how does Cadbury compete? We presented how does Mars compete? We presented how does Hershey compete? Then we broke them up into three teams.
Okay.
And one team became Mars, one team became Hershey, one team became thing. And they said, how will we compete? What will we do? And they came and presented that. And then everyone regrouped and said, now we are Cadbury. Now, how do we compete with these guys?
Right.
And it turned out to be a very productive exercise. And they were all very happy. They thanked us. And I think the Cogito team did two more projects with Cadbury after that on two different products. But the interesting thing is that when I met Anand Kripalu close to 5 years later, he said, yeah, that chess opened our eyes. We started looking at a new business opportunity. And that business opportunity turned out to be a 1,000 crore opportunity.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he said, yeah, I think it was, you know, I said, but Anand, I told you I may not deliver anything. He said, yeah, that was good. You know, you set expectations low, but actually you guys delivered a lot more than, you know, what we would expect. So I think the important lesson to me was that, one, we went in, they invited us. We went in with our eyes open. We set expectations at a very, very realistic level. The client understood that it's an expensive process, but it may not deliver anything.
Right.
And they were in for it. And then finally, it delivered very well.
Right.
It was a great, great exercise.
So, you know, a question that comes for me, though, through this, is there such a thing as making too strong a presentation? Because if you make a strong presentation to get the business, right, at that point in time, there is a, you know, I mean, like you are essentially promising to deliver certain things.
Yeah, so there is a danger, right? You know, agencies have always been held guilty of over-promising and under-delivering. So there is this little funny episode with involved a former colleague of mine who was in Bangalore, Indu Pillai. And Indu was a great presenter. She was a creative director. She used to present film scripts brilliantly well. And the reason, you know, at a young age, if you see someone performing and then you learn. So she used to work in Lintas and she had seen, she used to rave about the way Alec Padamsi used to present scripts to clients. So in fact, Alec used to get the client on the edge of their seat, you know, waiting to know what will happen next in the film. And then he used to unveil the whole thing in the client. So she was a great presenter. And I think our Bangalore office used to work with ITC Foods and Wipro, and both the clients used to love Indu. So I remember the story was narrated to me that how she presented a script, I think, for Sunfeast Biscuit or something.
Okay.
And she presented it in her own style. And it was a brilliant presentation. The client loved the presentation, loved the story. And then Mr. Ravi Navre, who was the head of the unit, said, hello, Indu, will the final film be as good as your presentation? So she said, oh, wow. She said, well, Mr. Navre, I hope so. So he said, look, I'm going to hold you to it, you know. The final film better be as good as your presentation.
That is a challenge, right? I would think that is tough to...
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, this whole thing is about... In a client servicing business, whether it is in banking or in hotels or in advertising, we used to tell our people that, look, it's better to under-promise and over-deliver than to over-promise and under-deliver.
Right.
So if you tell the client, I will deliver this ad on the 10th of January, and then you deliver it on the 11th, he's going to be very unhappy.
Right.
You know, whereas you tell him, I'll deliver it on the 12th, and then you deliver it on the 10th, he's going to be thrilled to bits.
Right.
Right. So, you know, the whole thing is, how do you train your people to what I call understand and implement SMART goals?
Interesting. So that's a thing, right? Smart goals. I think that that is something that comes from a book that you mentioned in there, or
a
paper.
So it's there in this book called Tao of Coaching by Max Landberg. Smart goals are used in coaching all the time. SMART is really an acronym. It stands for specific. Whatever you commit should be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it should be measurable. It should be actionable, A. And it should be real,
right?
R and T. It's timely.
Right.
So whatever you do, I mean, it's important for you to adhere to this SMART goal philosophy. Don't go and promise the moon. Don't go and make unrealistic promises. Be real. Be specific. You know, be timely. You know, stick to commitment. Don't, you know, end up, you know, promising things which you cannot deliver.
Right.
In B2B businesses and client servicing businesses, you find this happening all the time.
It's a danger. I see it when, when I used to run a IT shop, it used to be a promise. Client would be like, we need something on this specific day. You want the business. So you say yes, even though you know that you're going to take, it's going to be pushed back. And I mean, like, that was never a great way to work.
Absolutely. So the problem is you come under client pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times, and this has happened many times, right? So the client asks you, when will you deliver? And the first question to ask is, when do you really need it?
Yeah.
Right? So if you say, when do you deliver? And you say, I will deliver it day after tomorrow. The client says, okay. But, you know, and the client doesn't tell you that he's actually going to be traveling for the next 5 days.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you ask him, look, when do you want to see it?
Right.
You know, and the client say, okay, I'm traveling for 5 days and I'll come back and see it. Okay, you got 5 days to work on it.
Yeah.
Instead of going and committing yourself that, you know, I'll deliver it in 2 days.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, unnecessarily, it causes rush to happen when rush is not necessary, right?
Absolutely. So I mean, I think this drive has to come from the top.
Right.
The leaders have to ensure that their teams do not come under excessive pressure. That they have to be told, whatever you promise, please don't overpromise.
Right.
Please underpromise and we will overdeliver.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless this drive comes from the top, people down the line are going to be under client pressure all the time.
Right.
So I think it's a great principle to follow, that don't overpromise.
Right. So, and again, I mean, like, to come back to the title of the chapter, right? You set the right expectations. When your clients know what to expect from you, you can make sure that you can follow the rule of under-promising and over-delivering.
Absolutely. Just from the beginning, set the right expectations.
Awesome. I think that's a good place to end this episode, Ed. And we'll be back next week with chapter 8.
Yeah, thank you.